When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Senza.
For those who are missed, we raise our fists. Who are we? We're the Decibel Geek Podcast. My name is Aaron Camaro, joined as always by my good friend and co-host and awesome dude, Chris Sinzak.
How's it going?
It's going awesome, man. It's great to finally get back together. Now we're in an empty studio again.
Yeah, it's very empty in here.
We got some awesome acoustics happening today. Soak that in.
We did do something similar to this a few years ago, but it's a good thing to revisit because Memorial Day is coming up, and kind of thought we'd take a minute to kind of honor some of the rock guys that we miss, that we've lost over the years, and I think we've got a good lineup of songs for you.
Most definitely. We're paying homage to those we lost, and we're going to get into some really, really great music today by some people that are dearly missed. But before we get into all that, you know us, we got to take care of our business. And if reviews and recommendations are our business, then my friend, business is good.
Yeah, you guys are coming through finally.
Business has been really good here lately, and we love it a lot. So let's knock these out, because I've got two of them here, and they're both really, really good. It's an iTunes review, all 5 stars, love that a lot. It's entitled, A Pod After My Own Musical Heart. And it goes a little something like this. Thanks to you, Aaron and Chris, for making one of the coolest podcasts out there. I appreciate that these guys share my passion for heavy and hard rockin' tunes from a wide range of artists. My love of rock and metal began when I was a preteen back in the late 70s, listening to my brother's extensive record collection that ranged from Aerosmith to Zeppelin. The best thing was just sitting in front of the big Magnavox console stereo, pulling out their liner notes and just absorbing everything hard rock and heavy metal. Once I could drive and had a little money of my own to spend, the local Boogie Records was the first place I would go every payday to pick up the latest music from my ever-expanding list of bands that I followed and went to see live whenever I could. The Decibel Geek Podcast brings me back to those times, and I love it. Keep on rocking. That comes to us from EJ Spink right there on iTunes. How sweet it is.
That's a great review. I love the name Boogie Records. That's
yeah,
very 70s.
That's very cool. I love it. Man, makes you feel good. Here's another one. It's a Facebook recommendation. Comes to us from Jason Smith. Goes like this. A great podcast for rock and metal fans made by true fans. These guys introduce and help promote new artists along with waving the flag for all the classic bands. Their love and loyalty for rock and metal clearly shows in every episode and inspires you to check out new music. This show is on my weekly rotation. Awesome work. Chris and Aaron.
Thanks
nice.
So much, Jason.
Wow.
Two really great reviews.
Business is very, very good.
Yeah, keep those up, guys. We really enjoy reading those, and it's great that you're helping spread the word.
Shoot, yeah, talking about spreading the word, you know the people that do it every single week, the coolest people on earth. That's right, our Geeks of the Week.
Yeah, these are the people that shared on Facebook and retweeted on Twitter last week's top 5 Ozzy songs from 80 to 86. Quite contentious in the comments section there with that. Yeah, it was certain things. And I will apologize. I was in a hurry. I spelled Rhodes the wrong way.
How dare you?
I know. It's total sacrilege.
Is that me? Excuse me.
Okay. Sorry. So Geeks of the Week this week are Mike Stewart, Ridiculous Rock Record Reviews, James Nicholson, Kristen Schimbeck, Kevin Williams, Samuel Wetz, Joshua Toomey, Wayne Cross, Joshua Rogers, Darren Parkin, Thomas Mukaji, Ray Coon, Sean Cullen, Brant Cattell, Mikhail Burrell, Shay Hargett, David Glenn, Steve Wright from Potter Than Hell Podcast, Jace Jablewski, Adam Cox, Todd Cunningham, Mark Alden Taylor, Freeform Rock Podcast, The Bakery Podcast, Aaron Baker, Mike Parnell, Rodney Dixon, Greg Troy, and Mighty K27, Eladio, Robin the Hood, J.J. Mack, and as always,
the Mooger Fooger. That's a mighty hefty list of awesome people that are out there spreading the word about what we're doing right here on the Decibel Geek Podcast, helping us out, helping people find something to do with their ears that's worthwhile, and they love this kind of music, and you're helping us get it all out there.
I thought you were going to break into Streisand's people who need people.
People who need podcasts.
Heavier side of Streisand. In future
Never.
Episodes. Yeah, I don't
Never.
Think that's a line I don't think we're going to cross. No Babs on this show. All right. So yeah, we're just going to basically spin some tracks by, you know, people we've lost over the years that we want to honor. And I think you're going to have the first pick today.
Yes. Today is what Memorial Day is all about. It's a celebration of the dead. The ones that we really, really miss. Around Memorial Day every year, you try to take the time to really give a little bit more of the remembrance of the people that are important in your lives that are gone, whether it's members of your family or friends or people that you love because they made awesome music for you as you were growing up. You know, and very recently, the world observed the 9th anniversary of the passing of Ronnie James Dio on May 16th. I think many of us remember where we were when we heard the sad news in 2010. We dove deep into the life of Ronnie James Dio this past year's epic two-part Dio-cember celebration.
Well, you'll be doing that again this year, too.
That was so much fun. Oh, I loved it. I was talking to somebody the other day, and it was like, yeah, that Ozzy episode was really good. And I told him, hey, the ones that are fun to do are the ones that always turn out the best. And I'm extra proud of those Dio-cember ones because it was a true celebration. If you haven't heard that, go back in the archives and check it out. But lest we forget, here's a Dio classic from his 1983 Dio debut album, Holy Diver. This is Stand Up and Shout.
You get caught before you see it. So open up your eyes.
Sound advice, though, from the late Ronnie James Dio. Yeah. Also missing from our lives on that track is bassist Jimmy Bain, who we lost in 2016. Also on this track is Vivian Campbell, who's had several close calls with death since being diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma in 2013. But with many recent advancements in treatments, he continues to fight the good fight and has become an inspiration to those in similar situations. And on behalf of Ronnie, Jimmy, and Vivian, fuck cancer.
And on that note, that leads me to my first pick. And this, when you came up with the idea to do this time, this was quite quickly the first name that came to mind. Can't do this show without talking about Eric Carr.
No way.
Born July 12th, 1950, died November 24th, 1991. I obviously remember where I was that day.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
I was preparing to go to high school and in my bedroom that morning when they announced it on MTV News. And it literally felt like I had been punched in the stomach. It was... Because I think a lot of us knew he was sick, but like they had kind of kept it under wraps on how severe it was. The surgery a few months earlier, but it seemed like he was on the mend.
And it sure wasn't the internet age back then. You didn't have instant information. You had to rely on what you might read about in the Metal Edge.
And it was a double gut punch because first they announced Freddie Mercury dies.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we all kind of saw that coming. He was going downhill for a while, and that was bad enough. And then I'll just never forget Tabitha Soren, the redheaded girl from MTV.
Yeah, I remember her.
And in other rock news, kisses Eric Carr. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I can in my head flash right back to that.
Yeah. A good friend of mine told me in high school, too. And I just, oh, man, same thing, like getting punched in the stomach. That was the first time, I think, growing up that like a rock star or somebody you looked up to, somebody you bought their music of that you were current with died. You know?
It was awful. But, you know, we're here to celebrate the life of them. Eric's real name was Paul Charles Caravello, if you don't know. Heart cancer is what took him, and which is kind of a rare ailment. But, man, what an incredible guy and an incredible drummer. And this is a Kiss Lost classic, and I've played it, I think, several times on the show. But it's just such a great showcase for Eric's drumming that I got to play it again. From Creatures of the Night, this is Kiss with Saint and Sinner.
You can do it if you please. You can go to hell.
I love it. What a perfect representation of Eric Carr and what he could do.
Yeah, that's I love the drum track on that song. It's just so good. And Creatures of the Night is a full showcase for Eric Carr's drumming.
Absolutely. Can you imagine how good it must have felt to make that album after coming off Music from the Elder?
Yeah, it's night and day difference.
This is more like it.
Yeah, I'm glad we could do this because I will always take a chance to spin that song.
Shoot, yeah. I miss him, man.
Me too.
I wonder, where would he be now? You know, would he have still been in Kiss? Would he have eventually broke off? Would he have joined another band and got huge with them? I mean, there's so many possibilities with a guy like Eric Carr.
Yeah. I guarantee he'd still be playing drums today, though.
For sure.
Yeah.
Or working on ovens, his second love.
His second love. Yeah. No, that was Kerry Stevens.
Oh, yeah.
So what you got next?
All right. Well, I'd like to talk for a minute about a really unsung guitarist that we just lost a few months ago, and that man is Bernie Torme. I'm not sure how many of you people out there are really familiar with Bernie, especially if you, like us, are from the United States, because he was much more well-known in Europe. He was born and raised in Dublin, Ireland, where he was influenced to play guitar at a young age by the music of Jimi Hendrix, Jeff Beck, and, of course, Thin Lizzy. He formed a band called The Urge, who were pretty popular in Dublin, but feeling that there was limited success level that he could reach in this country, you know, he decided to leave for London. Sounds just like Thin Lizzy. He does that in 1974 for a gig with the band Scrapyard. So by 1976, he leaves that band and forms the Bernie Torme Band, which had more of a punk rock style. So they were signed by Don Arden's Jet Records, and they toured the UK with the Boomtown Rats and Billy Idol's Generation X. They enjoyed a pretty good underground following, but they weren't making much money, which leads Bernie to join up with former Deep Purple lead vocalist Ian Gillan for his solo endeavor in 1979. This would last for a few years, four albums, worldwide tours, but most of the money is going to the band's namesake, Ian Gillan, which leads Torme to leave and find his own fortunes in the early 80s. It's around this same time that Ozzy needs a new guitarist after the tragic passing of Randy Rhoads. So Jet Records head Don Arden, familiar with Torme, offers him the job and puts him on a flight to Los Angeles to meet the band. Except when he gets there, he finds that Ozzy's already chosen someone else to replace Randy. So Don Arden, he don't care. He's already paid the guy, so he forces him into the band whether Ozzy likes it or not. So obviously this isn't going to work out, and it's not long into the Diary of a Madman tour that Torme is out and Brad Gillis was in.
Yep.
So Bernie goes back to England and begins to record albums under his own name throughout the 80s, including this one from 1987 featuring Phil Lewis shortly before he joined the LA Guns. This one's got a familiar name, but it's a different song, and it's called Sex Action.
A little girl I know, I ain't talking
Yeah, I love it. And Bernie Torme was a hell of a player.
Yeah.
Really good. It was a sad loss. And in current news, you know, he was kind of tied up in that whole Pledge Music issue that was going on where, you know, he had a lot of fans that donated to his project. And this was basically his deathbed project. And everything went down and he found out that, you know, basically he had been ripped off of all the money he was supposed to receive to put the product out.
Yeah.
And here's where, you know, we mentioned Vivian Campbell earlier. Last in Line also had a project on Pledge Music. And they didn't take the right tact, in my and many others' opinion, where with their project, they basically told the fans, well, sorry, guys, you know, take it up with Pledge Music and get a lawyer.
Right.
Bernie Torme took the opposite route and said, you know what? I'm just going to handle this myself, get all the product out to the fans because they pay for it and it's not their problem.
That's what Donnie V's doing.
Yeah.
You know, I was one of the people that ordered his new CD when Pledge Music was out. I wanted to support him on the front end like that. When it came down to it, of course, none of us got our CDs. Mm-hmm. But now coming up really soon, that album Beautiful Things is going to be released in the States. But the people that pledged get theirs first.
That's
so
good.
I'm excited. I'm waiting on mine.
Yeah. And you know, Bernie, you know, he was about to die. He knew he was not going to live long. He could have easily just said, ah, screw it. But no, as like a last gesture to his fans, he actually went ahead and delivered on it.
That's freaking awesome.
You know, you got to respect that.
Golly, somebody like Vinnie Vincent could learn a little something from a guy like Bernie Torme.
Oh, boy. We're going to be started on that.
Bernie Torme did a lot of cool stuff in his career. He did two albums with Phil Lewis. He co-wrote and played on the Desperado albums with Dee Snider. Mm-hmm. He did a project called Silver with former Michael Schenker Group vocalist Gary Barden.
Love him.
You like how I learned how to finally pronounce that?
I'm proud of you. You put in the work.
He's also appeared on a Ginger Wildheart album in 2007. He's released a ton of material over the years, including his final album, Shadowland, which came out last year. And it's awesome. He's known for his amazing skills as a guitarist and a songwriter. And we just lost him on March 17th. It was one day before his 67th birthday. Mm. He got floored with what they call double pneumonia.
That'll do it to you.
Yeah, I hate that because once again, it feels like just when you get introduced to somebody,
right,
you find out they're gone.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And another one we lost in the last year, and this one hurts. We lost Vinnie Paul from Pantera on June 22nd, 2018. He died in his Las Vegas home at the age of 54. It was later revealed he died from a dilated cardiomyopathy and coronary artery disease, basically a heart attack. Very sad loss, you know, now him and his brother are both gone. And
yeah.
That's hard to believe, you know, just back when they were active, I never would have thought both of them would be dead so young, but man, Pantera, just, they will always go down as just one of the greats, you know, and
it's just those two guys, they're like meteors, you know, they rock so hard that they burnt out so fast, you know, they just, whatever it is that decides when your time is time to go, you know, just looked at them and said, well, they've rocked enough for 10 people, so, you know. Time to rest.
You know, I think I'll borrow a little bit from what Chad Lee, our friend, told us about. You know, if you didn't get to meet Dimebag, I'll say the same thing for Pantera. A lot of people say, oh, I wish I could have seen Pantera live.
Yeah.
And as somebody who did see them live, I want to say, I wish you had seen Pantera live.
Oh, they're awesome.
Because,
I remember.
Oh, just one of the greatest shows you'll ever watch. Just 100% energy just oozing off the stage and just...
Yeah.
I think it's the brotherly chemistry because the connection between Dime and Vinny just was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they knew exactly what each other was going to do. And you don't get grooves, especially like in the song I'm about to spin, unless you've got a serious amount of chemistry.
I mean, Rex Brown, too, man. You throw him in the mix, he's right on.
Oh, you're a powerful band. So from Cowboys from Hell, my all-time favorite Pantera song, and Vinny Paul on pure, furious, raging drums, this is Domination.
We'll be right back. made a trick, sealed you in brick by brick till you're real. The false and you survive. Your eyes will see the dawn of the day. I'm a latching on the wall. Those words that stare into your soul. I'm lost on you.
Greatest breakdown in a song ever.
Oh, I love it so much.
Once that breakdown kicks in, you just can't help but nod your head and pound your fist.
Memorial Day is a good time to remember.
When Vinnie Paul died, me and my wife were driving home from work, and I put on my phone. I usually don't play my stuff in the car for because she's not a big metal fan.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I have to do this. And I cranked up Domination and played it all the way through, and she's like, I'm not even a metal fan, but that's good.
Yeah, that's impressive.
So, yeah.
Out of this world.
Yeah, I couldn't help it. I was like, I have to listen to him play right now.
Shoot, yeah.
Yeah.
So this next one for me, and this was kind of what inspired my thinking behind this whole idea for this episode, and I saw this posted on the Guar Fans Unite Facebook group, which I got to say is, hands down, it's my favorite Facebook group.
Yeah.
I'm not a part of many, but these guys, they do it right. You know, they're always posting new stuff. They're always talking about Guar. I don't see bullshit for sunglasses. You know, it's all really good, and I like that page a lot. And I saw this, and it's a band called IDSFA.
What does that stand for?
Don't ask me what it stands for, because I have no idea. They're all I can tell you, I mean, they're directly influenced by Guar.
Okay.
You know, so that's pretty easy to see. But it's a band that isn't at all ashamed of that fact. You know, they make no attempt to hide it.
Okay.
So much so that they released this song in tribute to the almighty memory of the former leader and frontman of Guar, the amazingly clever homage to our lost hero, with a song called The Genius of Odorous Urungus.
The man that did discuss this was a boy. smart ass lyrics.
Man, it's hard to believe he's been gone for 5 years already.
I know. Dave Brocky.
Yeah. If you're a Gwar fan, you got to check out the IDSFA's lyric video to that song, because there's a lot of well-placed references within that song that only an initiated Bohab could truly understand and appreciate. So also check out some of their other stuff. They've got an album out called Bodies in the Basement, as well as a few EPs. It's all pretty great.
That's cool.
I like it.
Maybe they're just called IDSFA.
I don't know.
Very unimaginative.
Someday we'll figure out. Maybe that's what we'll task our Decibel Geek writers with at DecibelGeek.com. Figure it out for us. Let us know. What's it stand for? What's the solve the mystery?
Right. I'm curious. All right. Well, I guess we should stop and talk about Rockin' Pod for a quick second.
Okay.
I don't have any big updates this week because my foot had plans that kind of took me away from a lot of stuff last week.
You had a Rockin' Ron bunion.
I did. I had a bunion that flared up and... I was in bed with my leg up for 3 days, so there wasn't a lot of work getting done last week. So I apologize. I'm back on it. There's some possible leads on some more guests, and nothing I can announce just yet. But we're working on things. So,
awesome.
But yeah, if you haven't heard, if this is your first episode, Rockin' Pod Expo happening Friday, August 9th, and Saturday, August 10th. The expo will be the 10th. The pre-party is the 9th. Pre-party features the Rock and Roll Residency, with several of the expo guests getting on stage and doing songs with them. Also, a great band called 8-Ball and Lipstick Generation opening the show.
Heck yeah.
Our good friends Greg and Steve from the Lipstick Panel podcast. Check that one out. And check out our Thin Lizzy episode with Greg. It's funny as shit.
A lot of fun.
And then the Rock and Pod Expo, of course, headlining Michael Sweet from Striper, Brian Forsyth from Kix, Jason Buehler from Saigon Kick, Eri Von from Danzig, Jack Gibson from Exodus, Rick from Every Mother's Nightmare, all of Roxy Blues coming. Steve Barnett from Pump 5, there's Drew Fortier from Zen from Mars, Stephen Chereau from Kick Tracy. The list goes on and on, and it will continue to go on and on.
And we don't want you to be confused, because the name Rockin' Pod, and you hear all these names, we're not going to encase them in glass pods, and then you walk through and look at them like a human zoo.
No.
You will actually get to interact with all these people and get your autographs and get your pictures taken and have an opportunity to see what they've got going on and talk to some of your favorite rock stars.
You
pick their brains about things you've always wondered about.
It's different than any convention you'll go to. You will, like, you know, a lot of them, they'll herd you in and out like cattle, you know, to somebody's table. It's not that way there. Most of the guests stay there all day and just mingle around and have a ball and talk to fans all day. So,
yeah, it's pretty great.
So you will actually get to hang out with some of these people. And of course, dozens of music podcasters from all over the country. You know, we got more that we announced this past week. It's just, and if you have a music podcast and you want to join us, it's very easy. It's very affordable. Just go to rockandpod.com, click on the podcasters tab. If you just want to buy tickets, go to rockandpod.com, click on the ticketing tab. If you want to stay on site and party all weekend with us, because it's at a hotel, you don't have to drive or anything.
The whole thing's right there.
Yes. Just go to rockandpod.com, click on the venue tab, and there's a link there to a discounted room. It's way cheaper than any nice room you're going to get in Nashville, I'll tell you
right
now. And it's a nice room. I actually toured it
a few
months ago. And I was like, I'm even going to stay there. Yeah. I live here, and I'm going to stay there. So,
me too.
Yeah. Go to rockandpod.com.
So I don't have to worry about drinking and driving in Nashville or anywhere. That's a terrible idea. I'm staying right there in the hotel, and I'm having a good old time.
I'm going to try to get one of those handicapped scooters so I don't even have to walk. I figure I'm the guy running it. I should
have
that.
That's what I figured. Last year by 9 o'clock on the first night, you needed one of those.
Oh, boy. Brutal. Brutal, brutal. But, yeah, so that's it. Rockandpod.com. And, let's get back to the show.
Sweet, sweet memories of Rockin' Pod 1 and 2. Mm. How fun it was. I can't wait.
It's a big party every year. Oh, and if you haven't checked it out yet, Rock and Metal Combat were kind enough to have me on for a good extended intro to their show.
Yeah,
to talk about Rockin' Pod. And they talked to me a little bit about that. We get into a lot of subjects, but the episode of their show was them reviewing Poison's Open Up and Say Ah album.
Oh, awesome. I bet you they loved it, huh?
They loved making fun of it.
Of course they did.
But yeah, it's pretty entertaining, so check that out. All right, so I got the next pick, right?
So are they coming?
Yeah, they're coming.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
we'll officially
announce in the next week, I think.
Okay, I think we just did.
Yeah, well, they got to pay. But all right, so I've got the next pick here for this Memorial Day episode, and this is a band that I've gotten into more so over the last few years. It's funny though, because I'm a giant fan of John Bush's era of Anthrax, as affectionately known as Bushthrax. And but I've always loved that, but I never really got got around to listening to a lot of Armored Saint until just a few years ago. And man, what an amazing underrated band. Like, I mean, a lot of really killer material and just great players all the way around. So I'm doing this song in honor of Dave Pritchard, who passed away on February 28th, 1990.
He was awesome.
In 82, he co-founded Armored Saint along with Phil Sandoval and Gonzo Sandoval and stayed with the band until he died in 90. He played on the band's first EP, self-titled, first three studio albums, March of the Saint and Delirious Nomad and Raising Fear, as well as the live album Saints Will Conquer. And in 1989, as Armored Saint was preparing for their fourth studio album, Symbol of Salvation, he was diagnosed with leukemia, and he died of the disease the following year at the young age of 26, which is ridiculous. Dang. But there's so many good Armored Saint tracks, and I really, for the last year or so, got really into Delirious Nomad from 1985, and this is just a great representation of his playing. This is a song called Nervous Man.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh man, that guy is underrated guitarist.
Yeah.
So, if more people knew of Armored Saint and listened to Armored Saint, like every time I hear something new, because I'm like you, you know, I was in Anthrax and I dug it when John Bush joined Anthrax. Mm-hmm. But nobody really ever introduced me to Armored Saint. You know, I knew the name, but I never really listened to him. Never heard nobody playing him. And then as I got older, and I was like, well, if he was in good enough to be in Anthrax and make those albums as good as they were, this stuff's got to be good. And it's like, you know, some of it's even a little better.
It's pretty great. And they're almost like kind of the best kept secret in metal.
Most definitely.
You know? But yeah, check them out if you haven't. They're a great band.
Yeah, they were. I think they are. They still, do they do anything?
Yeah, they still go out and play.
That's cool.
Yep.
Good deal. Well, if you get a chance to see them, people go see them and let us know how it goes.
Previous Decibel Geek interviewee, Jeff Duncan, guitar player for Armored Saint.
That's right. He was a super cool guy.
Yeah.
Should try to talk to him again.
We'll talk about conspiracy theories again.
Yeah. It'll be our second conspiracy episode.
Right.
The first one went over so well.
Oh, Casey.
Oh, man. Good try, though. We got to try new things once in a while to see if they work. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't.
Bracket brawl.
Right? There's another one.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, I know. I just played some Motorhead a few weeks ago, but you know what? I don't care. Let's go all the way back to the late 70s, some classic era. Lemmy, Filthy, and Fast Eddie. They're all dead. But the music lives on forever. From the Overkill album, Move Over for the Legends, Move Over for Motorhead, Move Over for a Damaged Case. Never get enough Motorhead. You know, we lost Filthy Animal Taylor on November 11th, 2015 to liver failure. The very next month, on December 28th, Lemmy died of everything.
Yeah.
Because
his body just finally gave out.
No single one thing could kill him off, so that everything had to team up, and that was that. Then last year in October, Heaven got the final piece to its eternal headlining act when Fast Eddie Clark passed away from complications with pneumonia.
Yeah.
At 67.
Fast Eddie was an amazing guitar player.
So good. And Motorhead and Fastway. Mm. Amazing. So, you know, support the legacy of Motorhead and every band and artist you hear us play or talk about today or ever. Wear their t-shirts, you know, buy their music, turn other people on to it. You know, my name is Aaron Camaro, and I support playing Motorhead for little children. Thank you.
I heard somebody recently, we ended that episode with you saying, hit it, Lemmy, and going into English Rose.
Yeah, that was
and
fun.
They said, well, you should do that every week.
Yeah, no kidding. Just a mandatory Motorhead song.
Mandatory Motorhead, yeah.
From out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Motorhead out of nowhere. Shazam.
So, all right. So my next one, this was another one that kind of came to mind very quickly when you brought the idea to me. Phil Kennamore from Y&T. Another band I got into way late in the game.
Yeah, same here. Because of Decibel Geek.
Yeah, because of Decibel Geek. Did not grow up listening to them. And our good friend Ross, the Rockin' Donkey, had his episode with us where we discussed the whole catalog, and it kind of forced both of us to do a deep dive on their material.
It completely won me over.
Oh, me too.
I beat myself up for not knowing about them these years.
And then getting to finally see them live here in Nashville, and just an amazing band. And, you know, it's another one of those should have been much bigger bands, in my opinion. You know, they deserve better than what they had. But Phil Kennamore, he died January 7th, 2011, just a few months before we started the show, actually, of lung cancer at age 57. Dave Menichetti's musical partner through so many years, going all the way back to yesterday and today in the 70s. Menichetti wrote of Phil's death, as a musician with those huge fingers, his bass playing was always loud, strong, and deep, filling the largest or smallest of stages equally. I will miss his sense of humor, his amazing wit, but most of all, I will always miss not seeing him to my left on the stages I will play from this moment forward.
Yeah.
And you could tell those guys were definitely like real musical partners and brothers.
Sure.
And man, to pick one Y&T song to honor Phil Kennamore, because he's on just about everything, especially through all the glory years, but this song if I could pick a song where I'm like, why was this not a giant hit? This is the one. From Earthshaker, this is Y&T with Rescue Me.
That's pretty cool, man.
Such a powerful song.
You know, doing this today, it's kind of a bummer a little bit.
Yeah, no, I feel like we're like headbanging and then we're crying.
Right.
Headbanging
yeah.
and then we're crying.
Kind of, it's weird. You know, I'm starting to wonder if this was such a good idea, but we got to be strong because we got to pay homage to these awesome people that we're hearing today.
Of course.
You know, the people that are gone, if we forget about them, then they really do die.
No, we're playing the music because we're trying to celebrate their life.
That's right. Yeah. And so that's the beauty of it, because for somebody like that or anybody else we've talked about here today, or any of your favorite artists or bands that are gone, mm-hmm. you know, they never truly die as long as their music stays alive. So as long yeah. as we're doing what we're doing and people are still buying music and listening to it and enjoying it and passing it on and passing it on, this stuff will live forever. Let me tell you about a guy. He was born in January in 1947 in East London. His father was a sought-after pub pianist who encouraged his son to enjoy music by buying him a harmonica and a ukulele. Talking about Steve Marriott.
I'm glad you picked this.
Yeah, Steve taught himself to play, and he would use the skills to win talent contests by playing for street money. He discovered Buddy Holly, and he was so enamored that he picked up the guitar and a pair of thick frame glasses with the lenses removed. He started his first band when he was 12, and when he was 13, his dad signed him up to audition for the role of the Artful Dodger in the big-time London production of the musical Oliver. He got the part based on his vocal abilities, which led him to being featured on the official album of the stage show. This pretty much launches his career as a pretty successful teen actor. So at this point, he's appearing in films and TV and in radio ads, and his acting career seems to be about to really take off when he quits because he wants to be a rock and roller. And he doesn't care about acting. He wants to rock, and he's going to damn do it. He would be a part of several different bands that would have brushes with success but were never able to really break through. Then in 1965, he formed the Small Faces, and they become one of the UK's most popular kind of mod, psychedelic kind of rock bands
awesome,
of their
man.
Time. Yeah, they were pretty underrated. They're pretty awesome, really. And they're a major influence on a band like Led Zeppelin, like major influence on Zeppelin. They're signed by Don Arden to Decca Records. I know this is like our second Don Arden reference today. It's weird he keeps coming up. But so they signed with him, and they released a couple successful singles, including four UK top tens, and would release several full-length albums and their most well-known song, Ichiku Park.
Yeah.
So by 1968, Steve Marriott feels like the Small Faces have reached their creative peak, and he wants to bring in a guitarist by the name of Peter Frampton, you know, just to freshen things up a little bit. We ain't got to change the band too much, you know, and the rest of the band is just like, hell no, you know, no way. So Marriott quits the band that he formed, and he forms a new band with Frampton, and this band's known as Humble Pie. And they are awesome. And here's a taste from the 1972 album Smokin'. This is Sweet Peace and Time.
Don't give me pretense.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you basically just heard the blueprint for Kiss and a whole lot of other bands.
Oh, absolutely,
and
yeah.
Very influential band.
But so underrated.
Very
you know?
Underrated. One of the greatest live albums is the Rock and the Fillmore.
Yep, for sure, and you know.
Great vinyl.
They end up releasing like 8 studio albums between 1965 and 1975, including their highest selling album, that one you just mentioned it, the 1975 live performance, Rock and the Fillmore. Their biggest songs, I Don't Need No Doctor and 30 Days in the Hole, so hardly good. Dented the radio charts at the time. But you hear them once in a while on classic rock nowadays. Humble Pie makes their mark on the road. They tour the U.S. countless times. And from their early 70s peak, it's a slow decline for the band that would carry on in different rotating memberships until 1983. After a long career, Marriott came to realize the record companies took everything and left him broke. Although he never gave up his love of creating and performing, he chose to stay away from the recording industry and turned down many lucrative offers over the years to make a big return. He was still playing at least 200 small gigs a year in the UK in 1990 when Peter Frampton comes a call in wanting to know about doing a reunion and doing a new Humble Pie album with maybe a one-off tour. And before any of this could be completed, on April 19th, 1991, Steve Marriott died in a fire when his cottage burnt up with him inside of it. It's a sad end
Tragic.
To a fascinating story.
Yeah, he's an incredible singer, songwriter, musician. Just he was an all-around, he was a true rock god. He really was.
So what do you got? You got one more?
I got one more, and this one's personal because, well, you know, Aaron and I had a really great encounter with this man just a few weeks before he passed, and talking about Dick Wagner.
He was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, mostly known for his work with Alice Cooper, but, you know, a very, really rich career with a lot of different musicians. And if you just go back into his history, I mean, you know, he was with the Boss Men and the Frost out of Detroit. And
right. He was a major part of that Detroit rock scene back in the day.
Yeah, with the Grandy. You know, he used to talk so lovingly about doing the Grandy Ballroom. And every year they do a tribute concert to him every year at the Grandy Ballroom. And,
that's
in
awesome.
Honor of
Again,
him.
Keeping him alive
yeah,
through
that's Susan Michelson, who's his partner of many years. And she still does her best to keep his memory alive. And
yeah, she was amazing, too. I miss her.
Well, and it was an incredible comeback story because he had, like, I think he had several strokes. He had like a brain hemorrhage. And
right. And he had to battle back to relearn how to play guitar.
Yeah,
and he did it.
Yeah, he had lost like everything. And he willed himself back into shape.
Yeah, he did.
And we interviewed him right as he was kind of on the in process of that recovery. And he was still kind of foggy at the time, but you know, but the memories were coming back, and he was just, you could tell he was just getting amped to play again.
And I'll never forget when we talked to him that day. We sat down in that hotel kind of lobby area and had our own little kind of space, and we talked to him, and you could see him. You could see him light up. You could see his eyes like little light bulbs, you know, when things would hit, things that we'd be bringing up about that Dada album, you know, and things would click, and he'd be like, whoa, yeah, you know, and he would come alive, you know, and more alive, more alive. It was... Golly, man, it's one of the coolest things that I've ever had the pleasure to be a part of, you know, and that's thanks to the Decibel Geek podcast.
Oh, totally. And, you know, I read up a little bit more on him today. I mean, I know a lot about him already, obviously, with the connection we had with him. But, you know, like one weird cool factoid was, you know, he was he moved to New York at one point, starts up a band called Ursa Major. Mm-hmm. And playing keys for Ursa Major is a young guy named Billy Joel. I mean,
oh wow!
You know, like he was in a band with Billy Joel like 8 years before Billy was really anything. You know, Billy had like a metal band called Attila around the time too. He was a rock guy at the time.
That's cool. If we ever get a chance to talk to Billy Joel, we'll have to ask him about Dick Wagner.
Yeah, absolutely. But and then just Dick's all his songwriting, you know, credits with Alice, all those great ballads he wrote with him, Welcome to My Nightmare, and you know, I Never Cry, and so many just amazing songs. But you know, I gotta play the ultimate showcase of Dick Wagner's playing and writing to finish this off today, and I'm going to do that. Do you want to say anything before we hop off here?
Well, I just figured since he came up so many times today, I would just quick mention Don Arden died in 2007 at the ripe old age of 81 after finally reconciling with his daughter Sharon after not speaking to her since 1979.
Don Arden, there's a checkered history there.
For sure.
So
poor guy, can you imagine your daughter comes home and she's marrying Ozzy?
Yeah, that's got to
be a little
rough.
Upset.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too happy about that either. Well, with his bank account.
What
maybe.
Have I done? What? Where have I gone wrong?
But yeah, with Dick Wagner, if you're new to the show and you go back and first listen to the interview we did with him about his whole career.
Yes.
And then go listen to the albums Unleashed on the Dada album. It's like it's Alice Cooper's Music from the Elder, essentially. It's a real oddball record. Was done during a really dark period in his life, but it yielded such a fantastic, otherworldly type sound that it just stands on its own.
Yes.
And Dick was great recounting how it was made, because Alice doesn't remember how it was made because he was so out of it the whole time.
He was on the crack.
Yeah. But this song here, this song ends the album, and it's going to end our Memorial Day show. And it's a fantastic showcase of Dick's playing and writing, and the solo on this will just blow your mind.
Mm. I miss him a lot.
Me too. So happy Memorial Day, everybody.
Flip some burgers.
Also, thanks to all the troops and all the troops we've lost over the years. You are appreciated. Thanks to everyone who serves.
Remember all the people that you lost this weekend. You know, as you're out enjoying your day off and having fun and rocking and rolling, just take the time to try to remember people that you want to keep their memory alive and nowhere else but in your heart.
Yeah. So here off of Dada from 1983, this is Alice Cooper along with Dick Wagner doing a mind-blowing solo on a song called Pass the Gun Around, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Sonny wakes up in the morning feeling kind of sick. Needs a little Stoli vodka, needs it really quick. Sees a little blood run from his eyes, feels a little hotel paralyzed. Watching cartoons, television's on. There's a couple of party balloons and all my money's gone. She was just a reason to unwind, and actually the last thing I could find. Why don't you pass the gun around? You never want a shot, you never want a shot. Thank you.
wakes up in the morning, there's a stranger in his bed. Someone's pounding on the hotel door, he wishes he was dead.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.